welcome to the Blind Handyman Show number 217 is what they tell me. That's I hope that's, is that right?
That is correct.
217. We're a little short of men today. Don Shaw is having his classes late. He'll be along in a minute. But on the phone, here we have this fellow right here. How are you, sir?
Well, hello there.
What's going on? They have you back in prison.
Yeah, well, not in the ICU or nothing. I'm in step down.
Step down. What does that mean?
Well, it's the step down unit from ICU.
Oh,
Thomas, my man.
What?
How are you, sir?
Huh? How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. Probably better on this end than your end.
So,
well, it's just it's the irregular heart rate, and it speeded up last night. They had to bring me back up here.
But you were thinking you were going home.
Yeah.
Sunday when I saw you.
Yeah, I was to the point where I thought, well, hey, it's in rhythm. I'm going to be all right. You know, I'm going to get home, make some progress finally.
But have they got it back in rhythm today?
It's not in rhythm. It's in timing, but it's not in rhythm.
In timing?
In other words, it's not too many beats per minute right now.
I've been in timeout.
I stay in timeout.
Once or twice. Long time ago. Well, we'll just, I guess you get back in your room, you holler at me, and I'll bring you that laptop.
Okay, I don't know how much longer I'll be here, but I'll let you know.
When they put you back in a private room, and we'll give us a call, and we'll run that up there, and you can be on the Internet, shopping for Christmas on the Internet.
There you go.
That's the thing. All right. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, good deal.
All right, Tommy.
Feeling better, Thomas.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank
you all.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, I saw him Sunday. And there we go. And he was hale and hearty and feeling good. We showed him the iPhone. We just had a big time Sunday. And then, by golly, back in...
That this problem has been recurring in, like, you know,
yes.
I here 6 months ago when he first started taking, you know, missing the show. He was going to, you know, I talked to him at 10 o'clock. And, oh, yeah, I'll be there. I'll pick you up, Pat, you know, like that. And by 11, his wife had called me, and he was on his way to the hospital. So that's how sudden it can just appear.
Just your heart attacks you. And when it does, what do? I don't know. Anyway, we're here. Don Pat's here, and I'm here. And what else we have? What we have to talk about? Just a couple little comments on Christmas. If Jesus came to visit you and he left the door open, what would you say? Hey, close that door. Were you born in a barn?
Don't.
Huh?
I don't think you.
You don't think you didn't. Are you born in the barn? I like it. I would, wouldn't I?
Yeah, you probably would.
It would be kind of my kind of joke, I guess, huh? I guess. Anyway, I like that. Let's see, what else I have. What if you discover that the man who's parked his 8 tiny reindeer on your roof and sliding down your chimney isn't Santa Claus?
That's right.
What do you do then?
Oh, God, I know you can tell by this stuff the writers are on strike still, right?
You can tell they are. Well, it's a little light Christmas. I don't care what star you're following, get those camels off my lawn.
That's right.
That kind of stuff. Christmas humor. We are near the Christmas Yuletide season. How far is the old Yule log? Anyway, we have a good article to read about that. What was it called?
Yeah, we have a couple little email things, and then this article, and I can do the article first.
You want to do that
first?
Yeah,
and it says, use the sun to charge personal electronic devices. And this is called the Solio Hybrid Charger, or Solio Solar Charger, S-O-L-I-O. They don't list a website here, but you might Google that and see what you come up with. But anyway, it just says... that this thing is capable of running your cell phone, your PDA, your GPS system, or your game players for about $100. It will plug into a wall and or it uses the sun. Now, the only discouraging thing, and I didn't look it up online, and I'd like to know the answer. I don't know that when it says plugs into the wall, if it also meant that it would plug into your car cigarette lighter, because that to me is where you might want to use this little gizmo more than anywhere else. But anyway, it'll run, and they said like an hour's worth of charging or out in the sun will give you about 25 minutes of talk time on your cell phone, and they seem to probably use a little more power than anything else. I guess it would run your iPod, your Game Boy, or whatever quite. And so it's just when it's fully charged, you can double that time. So it would run on a full charge. If you were stranded out in the boonies someplace and could get to the sun, it would run your phone for 50 minutes. But it looks like if it was out in the sun, it would charge while you were using. So
it would run it forever, it looks like.
It looks like. It didn't mention, I don't know if that's a declining resource.
I guess that means if the sun went down and you had to
and you had it fully
charged. Using it.
And I'll tell you, I'm really sold on little gizmos and gadget. It also goes on in this little ad to talk about that this is kind of not have anything to do with the product, but if you're a green conscious type person, that all the packaging is biodegradable and recyclable, and I've, one of every six they sell, this company is going to give the profits from the sixth one to replant trees to offset the carbon dioxide that was used in manufacturing these.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, two things that I got, actually, one for my birthday and one at last Christmas, is I got a little hand crank flashlight, and it also has a little blinking like a distress, little, like if you were on the side of the road, you could put it on blink, and it's like a little strobe light. People can see you. It's these... they're not fluorescent lights, LCDs lights.
Yeah.
Okay, and also the kids gave me a crank lantern and or that you can charge in the wall, but when it is fully charged, that rascal will last about 7 hours.
Really?
Now you can crank it, and like say if you cranked it a minute, you could get 8 or 10 minutes use out of it. Like if I've got it sitting there, if I want to go off to the swimming pool at night, go check something out in the pavilion, I don't have a light between me and there, I just crank the old lantern about a minute and have at it, you know. I can just puts out a real nice light. So, anyway, the wonders, the marvels of electronics.
Well, then I've got a crank radio. I've got a wind up radio.
Yeah.
It gets AM, FM, and I think it gets the Weather Channel and something else. Anyway, it's AM, FM. I don't even know where it is. My brother gave it to me.
Well, on the same subject, did you see about the guy? I watched the special the other day, and I can't think of his name, that's trying to get a computer for every third world child and all that. And he's, anyway, they're the bad reason these things are exceptional. I think they're talking about how long the little computer lasts, and it'll actually, they kind of look like toys, but it's actually Wi-Fi. It has little rabbit, little antennas that look like little ears that get on the internet. And so, anyway,
yeah, but how many third world countries are Wi-Fi'd? Are we going to go with Wi-Fi?
I have no idea. Yeah, I mean, to me it sounded like a good idea, but it didn't make much sense. I mean, I was thinking because they weren't available to some of the people in the United States, and you talk about third world places, try parts of Mississippi.
We've got hungry kids in America that we,
you know,
that's what David told the church bunch in Nacogdoches. They were off to some missionary thing. He said, you know, if I want to help people feed and bring them to the Lord, there's a bunch right down the street here you might go see.
Emmy's
they
church.
They didn't think much of that.
Emily's church does mission work every year in Mexico, and I was asked if I wanted to bring my nail guns and go, and I said, no, I would go to North Lufkin and help build a house, but I wouldn't, Anyway, I guess it's just...
We have an addition to our group here.
Yeah.
Shawboys.
Made it back again. Hello. Hello, test. 1, 2. Hello.
You're on.
Yeah.
You got your headphones on?
Yeah, I do.
Well, we were just talking about sun chargeable things and...
Yeah, this little sun charger gizmo called the Solio that will run your PDA or cell phone or that for about an hour. About a half hour.
All these new gizmos, huh?
Maybe that'll be your next purchase.
Maybe. You never can tell.
I never know.
Possible.
All right, Donald.
All right, yeah. On the blind handyman list, there were just numerous. The first message and then a numerous long thread on air compressors.
Yeah.
So I did not read all of them, but I, the all-seeing, all-knowing Google, Googled in about air compressors because I think the main gist of the topic was oil versus oilless,
oil-free. And water draining and, stuff like
and
that.
One of the guys, I don't know if he was the originator of the message, said that there was a place probably for both of them, both types, and I agree with that. In fact, on the little research I did, this is the first main question, though, of the whole deal is, do you really need a compressor? That was sort of the gist. And here's the thing. Well, now, in our case, we sort of underwent some heavy construction. And so we had definite. But, you know, if you were going to use a compressor 2-3 times a year, you might consider renting one. But anyway, so then they go off in the whole deal of what kind of compressor, what's good? Well, first of all, you talk horsepower is not a good way to measure it because different manufacturers determine horsepower by different methods. A 5 horsepower of mine may not be a 5 horsepower of yours. The only way that's valid is if it's within the same manufacturer, if you want to compare an 8 horse. This is what this guy says, the typical, if you have to have one, the typical guy could get away with owning a 2 horsepower electric. That's supposed they make them that run off of gasoline. A 4 gallon, a 5 cubic meters, and a 90 PSI, and oil lubricated. And, of course, the only thing I disagree with him, I mean, that would be adequate. That would run one nail gun of any, it would run one air tool of most any kind.
Which is all you're going to probably use here in your shop by yourself.
My only thing with an oil lubricated compressor for blind people is you're going to have to get somebody to read the gauge. There's not any logical way that you can determine whether it needs oil. The little oil filler thing, I had one. The one I have now is oilless, but the one I had prior to this had oil and had a little glass eye sight glass, and you could determine. But I could not read it. Also, it was awkward. You had to have a funnel to put the oil in. You couldn't just pour the oil. It was kind of in a little obscure place. The question, somebody said, well, oilless compressors are noisier. And I'm thinking, now, is that really going to benefit a blind guy? Because noise, after a point, it would be like saying...
Yeah, noisier than what?
Yeah, I was going to say, it would be like sitting between 2 jet airplanes and saying, well, now, this one's noisier than that.
Yeah.
You still can't hear.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
If you're within a reasonable proximity...
If you've got an air compressor on, you're not going to be able to hear very well you're going to be lost if you're... But mine is, you know, from my shop, you can barely tell it's on from the shop.
Yeah, when they're in a closed-in area, I did, and that was the old that was the first good advice I got about any compressor. It says put it close to the plug and leave it. Hose is cheaper than extension cords big enough to run that air compressor.
Don't try to run it on an extension cord. You get in trouble if you do.
So I have 150 foot of hose. I have 125. I have 175 foot hose and 150 foot hose. And if that won't get me,
well, I got a couple of 25s, and I had 100, and my brother-in-law cut it in two.
Yeah.
Says my sighted brother-in-law. Right. When they were framing that room over at his house, John did a kind of a silly thing. He had one room that he didn't have the guy finish. The guy just studded it up and put up insulation. It would have probably added $1 a month to his house note. But he got my compressor and went over there. And some way or another, he and Copenhagen cut my thing in two. And if that happens to you, they make a nice little splicing kit. It's 2 radiator hose clamps and a thing that slips inside your hose. You just slip the hose over each end, put the clamps on, and bingo, your hose is just like new.
That'll work.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They make a similar thing, I think, for a water hose.
It's a little splicing. Edmund Daniel has them all day long. Little splice kits if you cut your hose in two.
So don't you just hate the loan things? You know, it's a general rule. Like, I hadn't used my compressor probably in 6 months. So then I've loaned it out to Emily's favorite son, and I've found 3 uses for it. It's only been gone a week, and I was going, boy, if I only had my compressor.
Daniel has your compressor.
He's replacing a piece of siding on his house, a 4x8, something as per the homeowners association. They just purchased this house. And so I loaned him my nail gun and gave him some brief instruction and my compressor. I thought, what a guy. What a nice guy.
Nothing like new house maintenance.
It wasn't a new house. It's in a pretty nice little, they got a pretty strong neighborhood association, and when they bought the house, all the neighbors are glad that somebody's in it. It looks like they're going to stay, and so he's trying to do some repairs. But anyway, I'll get it back soon.
Well, you know, I don't know. They borrowed people, a guy here in Lamptown borrowed my compressor. I had to go get it.
Well, you thought you were going to come and get that nail gun.
Speaking of borrowing things,
what?
I cannot get away today without borrowing your talking volt ohm meter that's here in the studio.
Well, it's not here in the studio. It's in the shop.
Oh, okay. Well, that's on the way to the house.
It's in the shop, but I will fetch it for you as we go in, if you'll remind me.
All right.
We'll go by and get that. What else you got? Back?
Anyway, well, just one quick thing. On the air compressor, when you get ready to buy one, I mean, that guy gave you an average of what you could get away with. determine what tools you're going to use and how often, and then that's a bit. But like I say, a 4 gallon, 2 horsepower, that's ample there.
Yeah, the smallest one you can find, buy it, because it'll run, as long as, it would run my framing gun, because you're not going to be going pow, 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 you're going to do pow.
And
you're going to move over and find your next place, because you can't see it to frame that fast.
And also, one comment on oil versus oilless. Oil is good unless you're going to paint. If you're a painter, you need free of oil. And so that's another reason they came up with it.
Mine is it oilless. I've had it 10 years.
Yeah.
I think draining it is more important than we tend to.
Condensation in that tank.
Yeah, you need to drain it.
That was a big discussion.
I've had mine 10 years. Bought it in 1997. And it still does just as well as it ever did. They speaking of barring it, the first thing they did when they barred it was took the opening the regulator and just kept opening it. Then they had to go buy a regulator to go on it. So, so I don't know. Anyway.
Okay.
At least Daniel doesn't have mine. All right.
Are we leaving? We're out of here.
Did you have another one? Okay, we'll do one more. We've got time. Go ahead.
This came up. And it's talking about the guy asked a question about what can you do about a sweating concrete slab, one that sweats like on the inside?
That's a problem. We had that garage problem over on Allen.
Well, and that's a thing. Most of the time, that is called sweating slab syndrome, and it's caused more by probably improper insulation underneath the slab, the plastic, the water retardant. And in a lot of older homes, they didn't see fit at that time to do anything to the garage. I mean, they would put plastic on your house slab and not the garage.
Yeah,
same with insulation.
That's what happened.
I got laughed out of the country when I want them to insulate the garage at our house out there now that we're in. It's only 4 years. The builder and Emily both were, what do you want to insulate the garage for? It's just cost you more money. And I said, because you may want to make a room out of it someday.
Is cheap.
Yeah. And so anyway, the sweating slab syndrome and the gist of it, what causes it? Well, it's not necessarily the water table. I mean, it's not at all. It's the dew point and quick changes in the ambient temperature inside. And this occurs in like you say, add-on garages and or large warehouses that are not heated and cooled. And really about the only thing you can do, because you can't go back and re-put in that plastic, that barrier, airflow, ventilation is what I'm trying to say, either with a ceiling fan and or in some cases you can use a dehumidifier and or if it's temperature controlled. Obviously, air conditioning and heating would, but you still may occur. And of course, the problem that this really gets into is if you're going to put something valuable there. If you're just going to store it, you could put a sheet of plastic down on top of it and then store your stuff on it, and that would keep it. But if you wanted to, like in my case, the one slab, the oversight I made is not putting plastic under the slab where I built the garage. And now, if I want to convert that into a music room, I would have a difficult time finding a proper flooring. They say if you use some kind of laminate flooring that has a insulated backing on it, you could get away with it. But you're real susceptible to mold and mildew and that sort of thing. So anyway, basically, aside from putting up a ceiling fan and or air conditioning and heating and a dehumidifier, there's not a lot you can do after the fact about if the slab was not, there are other causes. If the concrete, believe it or not, they get in such a hurry building homes anymore, the concrete really doesn't have time to cure properly. And so it may be still in a process of curing. It depends on the concrete mix. But believe it or not, the water table in your area has very little to do with it. It's more based on the humidity and dew point.
You know, I've elaborated several times about how that when we built this house, not this building, but the house, how they pretty well told me, because I weren't married then, and I was going to live over here. We'd already decided that, but I wasn't living here, and so it was her money, and so they pretty well told me to go. The one thing I got Robert to do, I just told him to do this, and she didn't countermand the order. I insulated every wall in my house. And it has helped mightily. I mean, you can go in a room and close the door, and you can't hear the other rooms. I mean, it's just insulation. That type of insulation is cheap. So why not do it? You know, just insulate every wall.
Well, the difference in the garage that I had a say-so over, I mean, the number two garage versus the number one garage that's attached to the house is I insulated ceiling and walls in that garage, and you could live out there right now without heat. I mean, it stays warm and cozy.
Yep.
So... Anyway,
I have no idea what we're into here.
No kidding.
Music. But we'll take a break, get the guest on the phone. The guest is whom today, Donald?
Michael Baldwin is going to talk with us today about a large basement floor project that this guy did.
And have we had him on before?
No, it's been a long time if we have, but he wrote a great post on this basement plumbing project.
And he's ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, let's dial him up. Hang on. Be right back. Don Shaw and Don Patterson are both here, and I'm Phil Parr, and this show is called The Blind Handyman, in case you wonder.
Sorry, baby. Don't cry. Don't cry. I got you right here. I'm gonna keep you near. Forever, my dear.
Blind Handyman, show 217, and we're glad you came to be with us. It's a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. I was talking the other day, it's what, probably 73, 74 degrees outside.
It's nice.
Sun is shining just as pretty as you know, you folks up there in Boston, or especially in the Northwest, have they had some bad weather or what?
They really have. They have lately.
Wars and rumors of wars. Anyway, 60, we fuss about Texas heat, but the winter, sometimes we get a break. 72 degrees on the, what is today? Today is
the fifth.
Fifth.
Perfect weather.
The 5th of December, and it's 72 degrees. Anyway, Mike Baldwin, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Well, that's good to have you with us. Where are you located?
I'm in a small town called Hays Center, Nebraska, southwest Nebraska, middle of nowhere.
Hays Center, Nebraska. Well, what would the temperature there be? I hate to even ask.
It was 30 degrees this morning, and it's gotten colder.
It's gotten colder. Well, do what?
Speaker.
Oh, the speaker's up? Oh, a little bit. They were. Well, anyway, 30 degrees. I got some. I couldn't handle that. My old thin blood couldn't take that. I'm happy to be in Texas. What is your level of vision, Michael?
Oh, next to nothing.
Next to nothing, huh?
Yeah.
Has it always been that way, or did you lose your sight later in life, or what?
I guess my blindness is caused by Leber's congenital amaurosis, or LCA. I had 20/200 vision, maybe 25 years ago, and just lost it over the years.
Yeah, never enough to drive. Of course not.
Just enough to get in trouble.
There you go.
Well, I had enough to get in trouble. I didn't have any. I had enough to get in trouble. I think it would go for lots of us.
So, Mike, what does one do in Hays Center, Nebraska?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Is this wheat farming, cattle raising country, or?
Yep. There's probably 20 or 30 head of cattle per person in town.
Is that right?
if not more.
Is that right? They used to say, what did they say, the difference in a cow and a girl from Nebraska is usually about 6 pounds. I don't know who said that. I don't know why anybody would say anything like that. That's terrible, yeah. Mike. Anyway, so you don't have any. You don't have any cattle, do you?
No. I actually live in town.
What did you do? You still work, or what did you do when you worked?
No, I don't work now. I was actually customer service for MCI WorldCom back in Sioux City, Iowa, and we moved out here because my wife got a teaching job.
Yeah, always want those.
Very
ones.
Good.
Why is it work? You want that?
Yeah, she was going to work, make more money than I did, so I told her it would go where she needed to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you were in customer service for MCI.
Yeah.
In other words, someone had a problem, well, they might get you on the phone at MCI.
Yeah.
How long did you do that?
Oh, 2.5 years or so.
2.5 years. Long enough to know you were pretty tired of it, I guess.
Well, that was for sure. I was ready for something new, but out here, there's just not very many opportunities for a blind person.
I guess there probably...
Yeah, I bet there isn't.
There probably wouldn't be. You're going to have to make an opportunity for a blind person if one comes along out there.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this. I mean, my wife is also a teacher, so did your wife have connections there? Or I mean, was she certified in Iowa, or was this home for her, or what?
Well, she's originally from the Waterloo, Iowa area.
Uh-huh.
And we both went to college in Sioux City. That's where we met.
Uh-huh.
And she was just looking for Iowa and Nebraska jobs, and she got one here in Nebraska and got certified.
What a deal. Okay.
Well, there you go. So did you get a degree in something in college?
I did, yes. I got one in business administration and psychology.
And psychology.
See, that and $5 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
that's about right, isn't it?
It costs. Yeah. I have a history degree. It cost me $10 at Starbucks.
They charge extra for guys with a history degree. Yeah, it's pretty tough. I can't determine whether it's good for a lot of blind people go to college and maybe don't do as well as some of these who don't. So we discuss that endlessly here. You never were able to work in either field, either of your chosen fields?
Nope. At MCI, I was hoping to work my way up, and it just never happened. So.
Yeah. Well, 2.5 years does not a career make, you know. Maybe if you'd... you'd stay there long enough, no, you didn't care for that.
Right. That office is closed anyway, so...
So you would have been out of work anyway.
Oh, yeah, I would have been out anyway.
Yeah, you're going to have to come up. Well, you're going to have to invent yourself a job. There is about the best you can do. Well, it's my understanding that you have, while you were there, done some work in the basement. Give us a synopsis of that.
Well, in our house, we have a corner of the basement's about 10.5 foot by 13 foot, where they had a bathroom and squeezed a laundry area, and it was kind of. You know, for my wife, it's kind of dark and dingy and just, you know how basements can be. Not very pleasant.
Yeah.
So we decided to make it into one nice area, which involved doing some plumbing. So I had to break up the concrete floor, which, you know, hard work.
Yeah.
So you rented a jackhammer, or how'd you do it?
No. I'm too cheap for that.
Too cheap for that, huh?
Yeah, what I did is I had a hammer drill, just a regular old drill with the hammer function on it.
Yep.
And I just measured from my walls to find out where I needed to do my plumbing, drilled some holes, and then I used a concrete blade on a circular saw and just basically connected the dots with the holes.
That's a nervy thing to do. You cut a hole in your basement floor. Wild.
What were you trying to do, bring some pipe up through the floor or what?
Well, I had to move some pipe and add some more pipe.
Yeah.
Man, I bet it was dusty and noisy
running that dusty saw.
Man.
So on a regular skill saw, circle saw that you hold in your hand, you put a concrete blade.
Right. You can go to Walmart and pick them up for like $8-$10.
Well, I imagine you can, but I don't have one.
How thick was the floor you were cutting?
The floor, it varied anywhere from 2 inches to 8 inches.
Were you worried about, boy, I'd have been worried about hitting rebarb or something with the,
that. Would, that I would, too.
That thought would go through it, I hope.
That's not, I hope.
Well, were you, the plumbing, you were moving this because you wanted to relocate the washer and dryer or take it out?
I was putting in the shower, uh-huh. sink, you know, a bathroom sink.
Right.
A laundry sink. And moving the wash machine.
And did y'all do it? So y'all put in a shower, not it didn't have a tub to start with, right?
Right. In the basement before, they just had a floor drain that the wash machine and the
right. Ooh.
Shower drained into.
Right.
Which I know in some places you can't do that, but.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look very good, isn't it?
Right.
Is this a pretty old house?
Well, about 60 years old, 50, 60 years
that's
old.
That's pretty old as houses go. Well, you got a lot of nerve, and you.
No kidding.
Had you ever done this, any of this before? I mean, this kind of stuff before, or what?
Not that much. I've done some plumbing stuff before, but most of it's been above ground, so I didn't have to dig up concrete. But
yeah.
Well, Mike, is this the same wife you have now? The one that started before you knocked the hole in the floor?
Yeah.
Surprise! It is.
I could see, because boy, I've gotten into some of these projects we call divorce getters. You know, and that sounds like one.
You can probably buy a concrete blade for $8 or $10 at Walmart. I don't want one. I'm not going
to
do that.
How many of these blades did it take you to do this project?
I'm only on the second one.
Wow.
So. You know, it cuts pretty slow and it's pretty dusty, but
I imagine
you could do it faster if you rented a concrete saw. They make, you know, actually concrete saws that can cut.
Or like a reciprocating saw, right? That think that
well, it's like a circular saw but bigger.
Yeah. Okay.
You can cut, you know, six inches and some, I think, even deeper.
We're cool. Going to find that out, guys, because I've got a sidewalk I'm fixing to cut in half. And it's about 4 inches thick with wire mesh in it. So we're going to see if one of these things work.
Why?
Well, I want to. The water's not draining properly.
You want to put a pipe under there?
They poured the sidewalk on top of the ground and made me a step up. So I'm going to move the step up back. I'm going to cut a section of it out and then pour a concrete level with the ground so the water can run across it. I've created a dam.
Oh, okay.
Well, that makes more sense to do anyway. They should have done that in the first place.
Yeah, they should have. They were lazy. And
it happens too much in house construction.
It does. And so you were cutting a trough to run pipe through, basically.
Right. That's what a couple different paths or troughs, whatever you want to look at them as, for my different pipes.
And
end up being a good chunk of my floor, though, by the time I was done.
Well, let me tell you this. Boy, it's a 60-year-old house. A 60-year-old concrete slab doesn't scare me as much as 60-year-old plumbing. What kind of pipe are we talking here? Cast iron?
Yeah, 4-inch cast iron pipe.
With that sweated together with that packing and that kind of thing?
Yeah, they use the lead.
Lead joints? Man.
And to get that apart, I just used an angle grinder and less than a minute, I was through it.
Hey.
And a hammer to bust up the bigger pieces to make them smaller.
And so did you then replace it with PVC?
Yes.
Okay, what a guy. Yeah.
So I thought you weren't supposed to put PVC in the floor.
Yeah, you can.
Drain pipes,
Or drain, I guess you could. But so when you got these pieces of concrete, you got all this stuff, but what did you do? Did you go back and re-pour with some sacrete or what?
Yep, that's what we ended up doing. I ended up about 35 bags of it on my floor, so it gives you an idea how much I had to break.
Whoa! Each 35 bags of sacrete down the basement stairs.
Man,
did you have a way to mix it down there? I hope.
Oh, some of it I mixed on the floor. Then I finally figured out my wheelbarrow would fit downstairs, so we mixed 3 bags at a time in a wheelbarrow.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah.
That's a big load, though, to be taken downstairs.
Everybody's more ambitious. I cannot imagine.
Man, that's wild.
Project,
that's just.
Right?
And so did you trowel it off yourself? And I mean, you did it, right?
Right.
And then covered it with tile, or?
Well, I haven't done, I've done part of that yet, but we had to wait for the concrete to cure up. I actually, using the pink foam boards to insulate my floor and walls in my basement.
Right.
XPS is the foam stuff. I don't know what it stands for. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I put a layer of that down on the floor, then on the walls, and caulked the seams and used that spray foam and used tape to tape it all up. So it's basically making my basement like the inside of a beer cooler.
Right.
Well, yeah.
I got a question for you, Mike. How did you, when you were cutting out the concrete and the pipe, too, for and grinding the pipe, for that matter, how did you keep the I know, man, the dust must have just been just unreal from the concrete and the lead pipe, but how did you keep all that confined to the basement area rather than, like, circulating through your house?
I didn't.
Because, man, that would have been one dusty...
It would have been.
I put up plastic and stuff to try to help contain it to the same area, but just concrete dust is so fine.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
We're still dusting from it. And
I bet.
I was done with that job, you know, well, shortly before I posted the thing on the...
On the list, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been. And noisy, man. I bet you had to wear some kind of ear protection and everything working down there with that saw, didn't you?
Ear protection.
Man.
Dust mask, and I actually wore eye protection. It's not something I do very often.
Circle saws are those little saber saws.
They're noisy anyway.
They're noisy anyway, but with a concrete blade
in a basement would just be.
God, Mike, you need that degree in psychology. There's something wrong there.
That's wild.
That's a pretty massive project.
I figured a jackhammer would be a lot louder, so.
Well, I guess it would have been.
That would have been a noisy thing. This reminds me of you and this guest we've talked to several times, Pete Mikicek.
Mm-hmm.
That guy takes on some really big projects like you're talking about here. Yeah. Y'all would. Man, that's just amazing.
That's just more than I want to do. I mean, it's more than I can even conceive of doing. I like to read too much.
So Mike, in percentage, you know, 0 to 100%, how much are you through with your project? Where do you stand?
Oh, I have the plywood over the foam, and I have the two of the walls studded up, but I need to run my electrical yet, my supply plumbing, and then put down... putting on this product. It's called Ditra. It's a product you put under tile. It helps absorb any movement in the floor so it doesn't break the tile.
Right.
Then I'm putting some heating mats on top of that to make the tile nice and floor nice and warm.
Right.
So then the tile.
Wait a minute. These heating mats are electric or they're what?
They're electric.
So you lay them down, then you lay the tile on top of them.
Right. I think they're SunTouch brand.
And so your floor will be nice and warm when your wife goes down there barefooted to do a load of laundry.
Well, I hope so. She'll get mad if it's not working.
She won't be happy, will she?
Then I got the whole shower to tile yet because I'm doing tile shower floor. And
man.
I'm actually doing a custom size shower. It's 4 foot by 5 foot with two showers, one at each end.
And you're doing those old-fashioned square tiles like we used to use, or what do you do?
Well, there'll be 4-inch square tiles on the wall, and
uh-huh.
Got some little mosaic type tiles that have different size things for the floor. That's going to take me 3 days probably. Just
and there's a pan under this shower like they're supposed to be.
Yeah, you know, well, kinda. It's the one I made.
What do you mean one you made?
Well, I used a mixture of Portland cement and play sand, about a ratio of 5 to 1. And I just put it down with the slope to the drain. And then there's this membrane, waterproofing membrane I have that will cover it. It's called Kerdi, K-E-R-D-I.
Which I've never heard of. But there's no, I thought there was supposed to be a steel pan under your shower.
Well, they used to have where you had to do like a lead pan or something like that.
Yeah.
But those, you know, they're prone to failure and stuff. And when you do it that way, you have to do a pre-slope bed of mortar.
Well, yeah.
Then you got to put your pan. Then you got to do another bed of mortar. So this way, I only have to do one. Then because the waterproofing goes over on the top of it.
Yeah, wasn't it Gordon that was telling us now that shower pans weren't that big of a deal?
They don't really do them anymore.
That they use plastic or something.
Well, it's a plastic that you cut up and you run it up the wall a little bit around the walls and then it...
Well, they have a PVC pan liner that they can use.
Yeah.
But the name of the company that makes this stuff is Schluter. trying to remember if I can spell it right off the top of my head.
And so you went with that instead of a PVC molded pan?
Right.
I guess the PVC, when you'd have to cut a drain in it anyway, wouldn't you? Because you wouldn't know where the exactly where the drain was going to be.
Right. Well, you lay it out with the PVC. You lay it out, and you kind of feel around, and you cut for the drain and the weep holes, and you glue it down.
And you put in a two-headed shower. I mean, a shower with two heads, sets of faucets.
Two full showers, yeah.
Two sets of faucets. But they're joined together. I mean, two people could take a shower in there at the same time and both have their water like they wanted it, right?
Right.
This is hoping that someone will want to take a shower with someone else.
Yeah.
Well, we never give up, do we?
That's why.
We never give up.
It's worth a try, right?
It's certainly worth a try. Let us know if you are successful, and we'll try it ourselves. But one of your final questions here, have you called anybody? Plumber? Tile setter? Have you called anybody, gotten in and said, all right, I'm going to have to call somebody?
Well, I've called people to get prices, and the plumber never showed up, and the tile setter wanted $350 a square foot, which isn't bad for, you know, some areas that think that's real cheap, because some run up to $7 or $10, and I'm like, forget that, I'll do that myself.
But you called a plumber, and you were going to get him to do something for you, and he just never showed up.
Yep, he never showed up. Well, his kids were in an accident, and his son passed away, so.
So we'll forgive him.
Yeah.
But so you just went ahead and did it yourself.
Yeah, I can't wait around. I got stuff to do.
Got stuff to do. She did it. Because that's what I always do with plumbing, is get in a bind and end up calling somebody to get me out of what I've screwed up. Well, you're an ambitious man.
Yep.
You said there was nothing to do up there in Nebraska.
Well, just work on my house, I guess.
Sounds like you've been busy. You ought to rinse yourself out. You seem to thrive on these projects. Do stuff for somebody else. I'm sure there's sidewalks to blow and all kinds of, you know, cars to start in the morning for school teacher wives and things of that nature to keep you busy. NLS is allowing us to download books now. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Listen, Michael, we appreciate you, and we'll talk to you, and glad to have you on our list, and thanks for doing the show with us.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Michael Baldwin from up in Nebraska. What have we got? Christmas tune of some sort? What are we going to talk about after the break, huh?
Well, I got a tale of woe.
Oh, you have a tale of woe to tell us?
A tale of woe.
I got a couple little things I could talk about.
Well, let us take a little short break. Be right back with more of the Blind Handyman Show, number 217. Drive up to a highway. Just me and you inside. Just me and you inside a hideaway. That's not Kenny G, is it? The luckiest
saxophone player
in the world.
Yeah.
All right, we got a few minutes, Don. You had a little something you want
to... I got a couple little things here. Talking about a far less ambitious project here. By far less.
I mean.
We talked here back a few shows ago about covering your turbines on top of your house.
Yeah.
Versus...
Don't do it.
Versus not covering the turbines. And I'm going to speak for my situation only, because I don't know about anyone else's. But I said, I'm just going to try leaving them open this year, just for the hell of it, and see what works out. Well, I noticed the first little cold snap we got. We talked about this probably, I don't know, around the beginning of November or so, and probably a week or two after that, the first pretty good cold snap we got when it got down in the 30s, I would say.
Yeah.
Man, I noticed that the heat was running like often and a lot more than usual.
Really?
And I was thinking, man, we either have a heater problem or this is something to do with the turbines, because that's the only thing that's different. I just didn't cover them this year. So went up on the roof, covered the turbines one kind of warm afternoon, and immediately, boy, just right after that night, you know, it got cold again, and noticed a big difference just in the amount of time and how long the furnace ran. It just didn't come on near as often.
Is that right?
So it made a, you know, I don't know about the humidity and all the other drawbacks, but in our situation, and it's possible there's not enough insulation in the attic, and that could maybe be part of the problem about the amount of time that the furnace was running, but something made a
big
difference.
Well, of course, all your ductwork is in the attic, and so the attic, I guess, would stay... With the attic, which your ductwork should be insulated enough to prevent that from making a difference.
You would think so, but it probably isn't.
So I take it, because I talked to you on the phone and you were waiting for the heater guy. I take it he said there's nothing wrong with your heater?
We checked everything and went and did some cleaning and one thing and another. Checked all the heat strips and all that. All them were working and everything was good. So that's when I got to thinking, man, that's the only thing that's any different this year.
So cover your turbines.
And sure enough, since I've covered the turbines, I mean, it's just back like it was last year.
Would you cover them from the inside?
No, I went up on the roof and covered them again.
And put a plastic bag over them?
But I kind of got, what I got to thinking about was the heat when it was down like in the mid-low 30s was coming on like... In the other years, when I covered the turbines, kind of like it was back, every once in a while, we do get in the low 20s and the upper teens.
Yeah.
And it was kind of acting when it was in the 30s, kind of like it was back when it was in the lower 20s and teens. Yeah. And, you know, that's why I got to thinking about it.
And you can hear that heater come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, it makes a noise.
It's
so, but basically, our advice about not worrying about covering your turbines was... Wrong.
In my situation, and I don't know for whatever it's worth, but in my situation, it seems to make a big difference in the attic temp. Covered versus...
Not covered.
Not covered.
I've never covered mine. Maybe I'd do better if I did.
It's hard to say.
I'm not getting on the roof. I'd have to have somebody do it.
Yeah, I'm not big on getting up on the roof anymore, but I mean, I guess it's got to be done.
Well, you knew exactly where they were. You'd been up there before.
I mean,
you'd
done it every year.
And so. What do? You just put a big garbage bag over them?
Yeah, I do. I put the trash bags over them and then wrap tape around the base of the turbine to hold everything down.
All right, cover your turbines, friends. That's our advice to you.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have thought it would have made that much difference.
I wouldn't have either. I wouldn't have thought it would make that much a difference.
We live and learn. That's why we're here, right?
Just try these little experiments, I guess.
All right, Mr. Don.
Okay, this is not to be tried at home. One of those deals. Okay, the other day, I was rummaging through the icebox, and I came across the package of hamburger meat, you know, a couple of pound hamburger meat. And I said, yeah, I better check this. It's been, you know, it was still good. And I said, you know, don't want hamburger tonight for supper, but I need to do it. The sale by this date is coming up.
Yeah.
The meat was still good. So put it on the stove. I'll just make spaghetti sauce and put it in the freezer for a later day. So got the pan out, cranking the hamburger meat going, doing a thing. And I went upstairs to the bonus room, new music room, kind of started playing the accordion. And I was sitting along there, squeezing along there, and I said, of course, Emily's long since gone at work, and I said, boy, somebody's downstairs smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Girl, but don't have a burglar. But you know what? I said, that's crazy. Nah. You know, Ozzy doesn't smoke.
But the hamburger meat never snapped to you.
Nope. Just carried on, and then the smoke got a little more intense upstairs, coming up the stairwell, as it were.
Yeah.
And I said, I think I better go check on this. Well, when I got there, all of the meat, I mean, it had disintegrated. The pot was so hot.
Wow.
And smoking, so I figured, okay, I carried it outside, set it down on the patio. The dogs killed themselves, so I carried it out. We have an outdoor faucet, turned on the faucet, cooled the pipe, all that. The house was full of smoke, but guess what? Modern day, not one damn smoke alarm went off.
Really?
Not one. Okay,
not
so
good.
I think ours, and I know I haven't changed the batteries, okay, so maybe that's my fault, except I think ours are the wired-in kind that only use batteries and there's no power. Not one, and I think there's three of them. In fact, the one by the stairwell up which I was, should have gone off and did not.
You'd think so.
But anyway, that's not the half of it, though. Boy, now the warden just won't let me get over it. I mean, I've tried, you know, I said, okay, we did the deodorizing thing, the air filter thing. They say, boy, went online, look up, boil vinegar and water on your stove, simmer it, and let it go out through there. We'll purify the area. Open the windows. We got one of these things that you light. It is a wick that's down in some oil or some fragranted something, and you light it and let the wick burn full flame for 2 minutes. Then you blow it out and put a little cap-like thing on it, and it burns all day or as long as the solution lasts. But anyway, she still maintains. Now she's threatening, well, we may have to repaint. We may have to. I mean, which is all, and I've got to tell you, I can't smell a thing. I mean, to me, it just smells about gone. So don't do it. I attribute that to just old age. I mean, you know, we used to worry about my grandmother. You know, don't let her get near the stove. She'll turn that burner on and forget it.
Yeah. Well, it's like Luann and the gas grill putting the burgers on and going in the house. You don't do that with a gas grill. But, you know, Emily did the same thing over on.
Well, I'm trying to explain that. It wasn't like I did it on, but I mean, it's like
she
never
did the same thing over at the house in Brook Hollow.
Yeah.
And it actually caught on fire.
Potato chip. Yeah, but this is just meat. I mean, it was no big deal. There was a little smoke. I mean, come on, give me 3 or 4 days. It's going to be.
But know. The detector should have alerted you that there was a problem.
The bottom line,
or they're not
the
worth having.
Is get your ladders out, guys, and I don't care if you did it last year. Let's get up there and check those detectors. They got a button on them you can push.
Yeah,
it
test
go
button.
Go off. Change the battery. I'm fixing to do mine because that was had that been at night. And something more, say it wasn't something I did, but just a fire in that general area, we would be toast.
Yeah.
And they talk about heat alarms, heat detectors, and motion detectors. Smoke is the one detector you need the most.
That's right.
It's the first thing that gets you.
And even a test may not be a good sign, because I told you on the phone, mm-hmm. I've just replaced ours for that very reason. They were battery powered, and same thing. I was good about testing them once, twice a year, and even testing and still didn't go off with smoke.
I just wonder if they've got any kind of adjustment. You know, that's the one thing I'm not really familiar with, that you can set it to. I mean, theoretically,
they just replace them. They're cheap. Dirt cheap now.
They really are.
They just replace every 2 or 3 years.
But the real concern is if these are wired in, where they are getting electric power too, and only use the battery in reserve, they should have gone off.
They should have.
You know, I mean,
that's a fact.
Nothing
any more useless than a smoke detector that won't work.
Yeah, and if nothing else, the one that was closest to the scene of the crime, which was right at the stairs where I was up in the upstairs room, which, I mean, was just right around the corner from the kitchen, and that's where.
Oh, yeah, that one should have went out.
Should have gone.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But we all have different. Luann's theory is when she wants water to boil, she wants it to boil now, so she turns the burner on full blast.
Yeah.
To the water. I don't do that.
No.
I'm willing to wait 5 minutes to let the water. I turn it on halfway or a little more. And, you know, I just don't.
Yeah, no, actually, I had this on the temperature that I cook at. But it just, you every once in a while, you got to go down and stir it. You got to go, you got to go see about it. But I guess I got caught up in a sleigh ride. I was trying to learn
you
sleigh.
You can't do that. You can't go off, leave it, start
stuff
in
the wild.
Well, you know, our friend, Yellowhammer, Hugh Gillis.
Yeah, for the people guy.
His kids burned his house down that way. Maybe it wasn't his kids, but somebody, I mean, it was someone in his family put a pot of grease or something on the stove, went off and left it and burnt the house down.
Oh, I'm sure it's happened lots of times.
I guarantee you, Emily was when that deal with the potato chip bag, what she did is had a burner on and some paper. I never like to lay cardboard, anything on the stove that'll burn.
I know.
But she had a potato chip bag that she had just, well, I think, just gotten out of the cabinet and then forgot it, a big family. family size potato chip package, and then something on the stove, and somehow one caught on. And when she walked in, she'd stepped outside to tend to the dog, and when she came back in, she had a raging fire in her kitchen.
We may have to repaint, huh?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. We may have to repaint.
Yeah.
Don't say bells ringing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's lovely weather. Let's see if this will work. Here, there we go.
There it is.
Sleigh bells ringling, jingling,
right.
Jingling.
That's a difficult little tune.
Yeah. Yeah. Sleigh bell, sleigh ride.
Yeah, I like it. It's been one I've been trying to learn for 2 years.
So I'm going to have to learn this before we do this big job we're going to do.
Well, you got to have to learn it.
All right. Doesn't have any G minor chords in it, does it?
As a matter of fact.
Matter of fact, it gets there in G minor and hangs there for a while if you're doing an F, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess I have to learn to make a G minor chord good. I just can't, you know, sometimes some bar chords bother me. I'll make an F minor pretty good. Maybe we could, I guess not.
Speaking of chords, that Blind Like Me show last week with the young lady that plays the glass harmonica was just wild.
Yeah,
that,
see, Carolyn's...
That's pretty amazing.
Schuyler.
Carolyn Schuyler.
Yeah, she's that's a pretty amazing instrument.
That's
strange.
Yeah, that's really, really different.
Carolyn Schuyler. Anyway, if you missed that, it's last week's Blind Like Me. This week we have Christer Ekstrom from Sweden.
Yeah,
as our guest on the show. He has a Zoom like yours.
All right.
And the Eteral 9. He's got some information to give you about the using those mics, those four mics on the Zoom in a different little pattern.
I have to listen to that. And by the time you listen to that Blind Like Me show, this one will have already run.
All right.
So.
All right. We'll do it one more before Christmas holidays. Next week it'll be 118, 218.
Yeah.
We'll just do that. Thank you, Don Pat.
Yes, sir.
Helping us read an email, Donald Shaw.
Wrapping it up next week.
Thank you, sir. We'll see you then. I'm Phil Parr, and I see said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.